Chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord? Any one of us tonight, we could be out on the street, be out in the bar, be in jail, we could be in hell. But God saw fit to save our soul, put us on the solid rock that Brother Randy sang about, and you're here in the church of God. Bless his name. Bless his name. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here in our text, Samuel is on a mission to go and anoint God's king. God's people have already anointed their king, King Saul, but it was not God's choice. We find that God had a man already sought after, a man that already set out, a man that was already picked out, or a man already chosen, a man after his own heart. This man tonight, we find, I believe outside of Joseph, is the greatest picture in the Old Testament of a shadow type of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know him, this shepherd boy, this giant slayer as David. David, we know he'll sit on a throne of Israel. David will be found in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. David, for 40 years, will rule and reign on the throne faithfully. Even here tonight, as we read in the text, we find that David, he's a lot like Jesus Christ. We find that David's a shepherd boy. He's out searching and seeking for his father's sheep, his father Jesse. Is that not what Jesus Christ did? He said, the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save those which are lost. Like any good shepherd, he's out searching. He's out looking for that lost sheep outside the fold, that one that's went astray, to bring him back in, to bring him back home. Jesus also said, he said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. There on the cross, dying and suffering, shedding his blood, dying for you and me, giving his life for even me. We find in our text here in a minute that David is rejected of his own. His own didn't think he could go out and defeat the enemy. They rejected him. Didn't Jesus say, I came to my own and my own received me not? David, so much like Jesus Christ in the scriptures. I love what happens in this text. Samuel, he shows up at Jesse's place. He shows up in Bethlehem. You know the story well. God tells Samuel to go to Bethlehem, and there you'll find one by the name of Samuel, or by the name of Jesse, and Jesse will have a son, and we'll anoint him king of Israel. Here comes Jesse's son, Eliab. Here comes Jesse's son, Abinadab. Here comes Jesse's son, Shammah. But that's not the one that God wants to anoint. He tells Samuel, he says, Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance. Don't look on at the boy that's the tallest or the strongest. Don't look at the one that's the wisest or the smartest. Don't look at the one that's the biggest or the oldest. He said, but look for what lies within. Look for the one whose heart's after me, whose desire is after me, whose cares and affections are on me. And I believe that's still true today, church, concerning every Christian and every church. God doesn't care about our ability. He doesn't care about our skill, our expertise. So he doesn't care about our talent, but he's looking for a people whose heart is longing after him, whose affection is upon him, whose eyes are set on Jesus Christ, the Savior. I love what Samuel tells Jesse here in the text tonight in verse number 11. Samuel has came to Bethlehem. He has sought Jesse. He's invited Jesse to the sacrifice. And he tells, and Jesse parades these seven sons in front of Samuel. And Samuel speaks to Jesse here in verse number 11, chapter 16. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he cometh hither. Samuel says to Jesse, until the king comes, until the king passes by, we will not sit down. He tells Jesse, he says, Jesse, we're not going to fold up. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to quit. We're not going to lay down and rest. But until the king shows up, we're not even going to sit down. Jesse knew that Samuel had something in him that was going to cause him not to burn out and not to give up. He says, we're not going to sit down until the king shows up. Just for a moment tonight, I'd like to preach on the thought. Don't take a seat. Don't sit down. Church, let me say, I'm not going to sit down until Jesus Christ shows up. You say, well, who is this king? It's our king. It's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord, my King, Jesus Christ. Our pastor this morning, he said four words that's been ringing my ears all afternoon long. He said to stand fast and to stand steadfast. He's telling us, our pastor this morning, we don't need to sit down. In Luke chapter number 19, Jesus tells that story of one that goes to a far country, and he tells his servants why he's gone to sit and take a kingdom. He tells his servants, occupy until I come. That word occupy doesn't mean to sit down. It doesn't mean to rest or to take a road off, but it means to get busy. And our job tonight, church, is not to sit down. Our job tonight is not to rest, but our job is to stand until Jesus Christ comes. We're not going to sit down till he comes. That's what Samuel tells Jesse. He says, Jesse, these boys look good. These boys have a good countenance. They're strong. They're handsome. They're mighty. But until Jesus Christ comes, till the king comes, I'm not going to sit down. Our job tonight, church, is to keep preaching till Jesus comes. Our job tonight is to keep singing till the king comes. Our job tonight is to keep praying till the king comes. Our job tonight is to keep witnessing till the king comes. Our job tonight is to keep praising and worshiping him until the king comes. That's what I want to echo tonight. Echo what Samuel said. For we will not sit down until he comes. I think the problem with many Christians and with many churches today is they've just sat down and gotten comfortable. We haven't arrived to the place, church, where we can lay down our sword, where we can take off our armor, where we can unharness and rest by the river of life, but we are to be on the offensive and not the defensive. We are to be sober and vigilant, and we are not to sit down until he comes. I think a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, they've become comfortable in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. They used to run well, but now they're sitting down. They used to be on fire for God, but now that wet blanket, whatever it was, is thrown upon them. They used to have a zeal and enjoy the things of God, but now they've grown stale and mundane to them. Just keep standing until he comes. Fletcher, let's keep standing till he comes. Let me say tonight, I believe, Pastor, we're in a dangerous, dangerous time in our church. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean? All is fine. Everything's going well. All seems wonderful. God's blessed us. I know. I believe that's why it's a dangerous time. God's blessed this church tremendously. God's been good to us. Paid off the church. We have no church death. We got people in the pews. We have things are going well. Things seem so wonderful. Things are on the rise. And the danger of that is getting complacent, becoming lackadaisical, sitting down and getting comfortable in the things of God. I pray we'll never get satisfied until the King comes. I believe that old hymn says it best. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand by faith in heaven's land. A higher plane I've found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Just keep standing until he comes. Looking and longing and waiting for he shows up in our midst. And he shows up in our presence spiritually and literally. Samuel says, Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes. You know what happens when he comes? When this king, this future king of Israel comes by, do you know what happens? They anoint him. They anoint him king. Verse number 12, and he sent and brought him, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. That sounds like my Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, and the Lord said, rise, anoint him, for this is he. When this future king comes by, when he passes by Samuel, he's anointed. He's crowned. They say, this is the one. This is he. I don't know what's going to happen when, or I know what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Tells us that we'll cast our crowns up toward his feet. And we'll say, thou art worthy to receive power and honor and praise. We'll crown him. We'll anoint him. He's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me say, when he comes, he's going to be anointed. When he comes, he's going to defeat the enemy. Hear this king come in chapter 16. The very next chapter, he defeats that great enemy of Israel, that Philistine, that giant Goliath. He takes that stone and he bruises his head. Remember Genesis chapter 3. Bible tells us when the Savior comes, that seed of the serpent is going to be bruised. There at Calvary, as Jesus was dying and as he was shedding his blood and he was giving his life for me and for you, and there he was laid in that tomb. They said he was a revolutionary. He was a good teacher. He was a good rabbi. He was a good philosopher. But thank God, 3 days later, getting up from the grave, he was more than just that. He was the darling Son of God, God himself. And there he bruised the heel of that old serpent, which is the devil. At Calvary, he wasn't defeated. At Calvary, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, he was bruised. He's still loose. He's still walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's coming to steal and to kill and to destroy your family, our church. But thank God. Thank the Lord. One day when my king shows up on that battlefield in Revelation 19, my king's going to take the beast and the false prophet, and he's going to cast them, the Bible says, alive into that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. The next chapter, chapter 20, he lays hold of that old serpent, Satan, the devil. Casts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, not able to deceive the nation or lead those astray from a path of virtue. But at the end of 1,000 years, he'll be loose for a little season. And then, verse number 20 of chapter 20, Revelation. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and false prophets are. And he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When he comes, when my king comes, he's coming to win the battle. He's coming to be victorious over the enemy. He's coming to defeat the enemy, to take names, and to win the battle. When he comes, he's going to defeat the enemy. David just doesn't get anointed when he shows up. David just doesn't defeat the enemy when he shows up. David, also, he gets a bride when he shows up. Saul tells the armies, he says, whoever can defeat that giant, our enemy, whoever can defeat Goliath, he said, I will give him my daughter to wife. Saul told the armies, he said, whoever defeats the enemy, I'll give him a bride. Let me say tonight, when Jesus shows up, our king, he's coming to get his bride. That's me. That's you. If you're saved, born again, redeemed, and repented, and asked Christ to save you, that's you, his bride. He's coming back for his bride. We don't need to sit down, church. We don't need to take a seat. We need to be sober and vigilant. We need to stand fast and be steadfast till he comes. In Luke chapter 11, they said that many will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. That's us, but he hasn't come yet. We don't need to put it in park and stop. We don't need to put it in neutral and coast from here on out. And heaven forbid, we don't need to put it in reverse and back up. Church, don't take a seat. Keep standing until the King comes. That's my prayer tonight, Pastor. Our congregation, our hearts could be knit around this thing of standing and not being complacent and keep standing until our King comes. That's what Paul told the church at Philippi. He said, I press toward. He said, I'm running toward. I'm pursuing. I'm seeking after. I'm following. I'm pressed forward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I haven't finished. I haven't attained. He's saying, I haven't arrived yet, so I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on standing till he comes. Just three things tonight why we shouldn't sit down. Three things tonight why we don't need to take a seat and sit down and I'll be finished. Number one, let me say we don't need to sit down on our purpose. Do you know why Samuel was in Bethlehem? Do you know why Samuel was at this appointed time and appointed place? Because he had a purpose. The Lord told him to go and anoint a king. And his purpose would not be fulfilled until that king passes by. Samuel had a purpose. Every one of us tonight has a purpose. God's given us a purpose. Our purpose and ministry may be different. They may vary in form and fashion, but we all have a purpose. Our senior saints, you, as Brother Rogers said tonight, you may not be able to do the things physically you once could. There's nothing dishonorable about that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the cycle of life. Your purpose may have shifted. Your purpose may have changed. But whatever your purpose is, don't sit down on your purpose. Younger people, God's given you a purpose now at the age that you are. You be faithful and you stand firmly in that purpose until God gives you another purpose. Don't sit down on your purpose. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you live in that purpose, and you teach. If you're a singer, you live in that purpose and you sing. If you're a server, you live in that purpose and serve. If you're a prayer warrior, you live in that purpose and you pray. If you're a witnesser, you live in that purpose and witness. But whatever you do, don't sit down on your purpose. Don't quit on your purpose. Don't give up on your purpose. I was thinking this afternoon, in 1992, the Barcelona Olympics, Derek Redmond, he was projected and he was predicted to win the men's 400-meter dash. There's the gun sounded, and those runners left that starting block. Derek Redmond began to pull out in front of the field. He was leading the pack, and halfway around the track, Derek Redmond tore his right hamstring. He laid there on the track, wallowing and willowing in the pain and the agony. The other runners had finished the race. Derek Redmond gets up and begins to limp and begins to hop and begins to hobble toward the finish line. You could see the tears coming down his cheeks and the pain and the agony on his face. There was a man that fought through the crowd. He jumped over the barrier and wouldn't be denied, he fought through the security. He goes up to Derek Redmond, and he said, son, it's his dad. He said, son, you have nothing to prove. He said, you have nothing to prove to me. He said, why don't you just go ahead and quit? And Derek Redmond said this. He said, dad, I came here to finish. He wanted to finish that race. He knew he wasn't going to win. He knew he wasn't going to place or be on the podium, limping all the way across the finish line, Derek Redman finished the race. It'll go down at Derek Redman. It does not say he won a medal. It does not say Derek Redman stood on the podium and got to hear the national anthem. But it does say that Derek Redman finished. There's not a DNF beside his name. Church, there's some things in your Christian life that'll make you hobble, that'll make you stumble, and that'll make you fall. But don't quit. Don't stop standing. Don't let that hinder you. There'll be a heavenly Father that'll come by your side, one that'll never leave you or forsake you, and say, we'll finish this thing together. I may not finish with all the accolades and all the awards and all the my name in lights, but I do want to finish. Don't sit down on your purpose, church. God's given you a purpose. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know what my purpose is. Why don't you come and just ask God to give you that purpose? Beg God to give you that purpose. And whatever you do, don't sit down on your purpose. Let me say number two, don't sit down on your prayers. You know what this story is about? This story, Samuel is praying to God. This story, Samuel is praying. He's communicating. He's fellowshipping. He's praying to his Lord. You know what David is? David is an answer to Samuel's prayer. What Samuel is telling Jesse, he's saying, Jesse, I ain't sitting down on my prayer. Look at the conversation. Look at this prayer. Look at this communication between God and Samuel in verse number 1. Chapter 16. And the Lord, here's the Lord speaking to Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now look what Samuel does. He starts talking to the Lord. And Samuel said, how can I go? If I hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Look at verse number 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, he looked on Eliab, this is the oldest son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. I don't believe he said this out loud. I don't believe he said it to Jesse or any other brothers. I believe he was saying it inside himself. He was saying it to the Lord. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance, but for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Do you see this communication? Do you see this prayer? Do you see this fellowship between Samuel and his God? God has burdened Samuel's heart. God has troubled his heart. Samuel is praying, and God has burdened him, troubled him. And now Samuel's saying, Lord, I'm not sitting down on my prayers. You know, I found out that God usually answers my prayers not the way I expect him to. Not the way I want him to. And I believe this is the same and true in Samuel's life. Samuel thought that Eliab was God's answered prayer. Eliab, a tall, favorable to look at, good countenance. This has to be the king. And the Lord says, no, Samuel, it's not him. Samuel's prayer is not answered once. It's not answered twice. It's not answered three times. But seven times, God tells Samuel, no. I believe we can look at this and we can prove that Samuel was not a Baptist. There's no way Samuel could have been a Baptist, because Samuel never got bitter at God when God said no. He prayed and prayed and prayed, burned and troubled, and God said, go and anoint a king, and here comes seven boys in front of him, and God says, no, no, no. It had been easy for Samuel to say, Lord, I've done what you ask. I've been faithful. I've come to Bethlehem. I've got to face Saul who may kill me. I've sacrificed. I've brought the heifer. I've come to salt Jesse. I've been praying faithfully. You keep saying, no, that's not him. It had been so easy for Samuel to sit down on his prayer life. Church, keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep asking God. Some of you tonight, you have children. Lost children, prodigal children, rebellious children. Don't stop praying. Don't sit down on your prayers. Family members and friends are out in the world and lost. Looks like there's no hope. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. In Luke, we find that the Lord, after he teaches his disciples the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he tells them of a story of a man who had a friend. This friend is coming to his house, and this man has nothing to give him, nothing to feed him, nothing to set before him. So this man goes to a neighbor's house and begins to knock. It's midnight. He wakes the neighbor, and the neighbor says, "Trouble me not. It's midnight. The door is shut. Children are in bed." He said, "I will not arise." But the Bible says, because of his importunity, because of his persistence, because he didn't sit down, because he didn't quit, because he didn't give up, the Bible says he arose and gave him what he needed. How about I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I believe the problem is we'll pray a little bit, I'll pray a little bit, but then we stop asking. Then we stop seeking. Then we stop knocking. God said just keep on praying. Don't sit down on your prayer life. Don't sit down on your prayers. God may not have answered them. You may have been praying for that thing for year after year after year. I don't understand why God does what he does. We know we've been praying for little Bella, eight months old, I believe. Precious little girl. And yet the Lord promotes her to glory. We left wondering, why didn't he heal her? She had her life in front of her. She has done no wrong, but yet here the wicked seems to be prosperous, and the wicked needs to be seen, is getting prospered and promoted. But yet this young child doesn't make it. I don't understand why God does what he does. But I just want to encourage you tonight, don't sit down on your prayer life. Don't sit down on the purpose God's give you. Lastly, and I'm done, let me say, don't sit down on people. Look at our text verse in verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh hither." Samuel didn't say, "I will not sit down." He said, "But we won't sit down." Brother Keith, I may have missed it. Now, I've read the chapters leading up to it. I don't see anywhere that Samuel had a servant. I don't see anywhere Samuel had a helper or had a preacher boy coming along with him. But Samuel said, "For we will not sit down until he cometh." I believe what Samuel was saying is, if he knew he sat down personally, them seven boys and Jesse and all those at the sacrifice that day, they'd have sat down corporately. He's saying, if I sit down, they'll sit down. Don't give up on people. Don't sit down on people. Hey, mom, hey, dad, don't sit down on your purpose. Don't sit down on your prayer life. Don't sit down and you walk with God because your children might sit down. You know, I wished I could say tonight that I do what I do just because my love for God. But my love wavers My love and my faithfulness is not always right. And I know my Savior's love and His faithfulness toward us is perfect, and it never wavers, and it's always right. But I can't say that about myself. And you're honest with yourself, you can't say that about yourself either. But I'd like to say tonight, I do what I do just because of my love for Christ. But I found myself, Pastor, many times, I do what I do because if I sit down, or if I quit, or if I back up, my wife may sit down. Or some of you may sit down. Or some of my family may sit down. You know, this ministry and pastoring, he'll tell you, our pastor will tell you, sometimes it gets routine, and many times it's pressing, and many times it's you get in that rut and you don't have that zeal and that fire that you need to be effective. This week, come to the church, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming to the church, I've seen some ladies and I seen some young men over here working, over here putting up all this decor, over here praying, over here laboring and pulling. You say, well, I don't think all that's necessary. You say, well, I don't think all that should have been, or it's overboard, or it's too much. That's fine. You can have that opinion. But I tell you what I think. I think I seen some people standing. I think I've seen some people who thought it's worth standing to see some young child come to know the Lord, or some young child come and give their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. You know what that did for me? It made me want to keep standing. Don't give up. Don't sit down because other people around you may sit down. Stand fast. Stand steadfast, but whatever you do, Fletcher, don't sit down on your purpose. God's given us a purpose to be a light to a lost and dying world. Don't sit down on your prayer life. Keep asking and keep praying and keep seeking God. And don't sit down because people around you may sit down until He comes. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I have a desire to keep standing till my Savior comes. Maybe you want to come to this altar and ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to encourage you. Ask the Lord to help you and be there to carry you and see you through. Maybe you're here tonight and the Lord's pinpointed an area in your life where you've sat down, or you've gave up, or you've just thrown in the towel. Is it your prayer life? Do you still pray like you used to pray? Do you still read like you used to read? Do you still witness like you used to witness? Don't sit down. There's souls in the balance. Whatever your need is tonight, this altar's open. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God, for the church and for each and every one here. Father, what you've done for us. And Lord, I just pray we get to a place in our life where we say and we're fixed and we're firm on the thought that we'll keep standing until you come. Lord, there's some prayers that's been prayed in this altar for years and years, for lost souls and for children, for family members. Lord, I pray, and I'm thankful that you hadn't forgot them. But I pray, Father, you'd keep giving us the burden to keep on praying. Father, you know the need tonight. Help us be faithful. Help us be like Samuel and say we're going to stand until you come. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way tonight. Amen.